want to look at this portion of Scripture, ask the Lord God to grant us the wisdom and understanding and knowledge from Him unto us, that we would be able to fully appreciate these verses in the Old Testament and the application it has for our lives today. Deuteronomy 1, 1 through 3. These are the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth, and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir into Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. These are the words. This is how the book of Deuteronomy begins. And the actual name of the book comes from the Hebrew word Devarim. D-E-V-A-R-I-M. Devarim, which means these are the words, or a better translation is simply words. Daber, or Devar, is the Hebrew word for word, and Devarim is the plurality of that word, words. And so in English we find that the first phrase of chapter 1 and verse 1, these are the words, is actually the name of the book, Devarim, the name of the book. Now it's exciting as we look at this particular Hebrew word, Devarim, because it reminds us of God speaking to mankind. And God has not simply given one word, thou shalt not. He has also given other words, thou shalt. There are many commandments that God has given to Israel, and there are many wonderful words of comfort that God has given to Israel, as well as to you and to me. God not only is prone to give us commandments, as I mentioned a moment ago, thou shalt and thou shalt not, but He has many, many words in the Word of God, both the Old and the New Testament, that are words of comfort. There are also words of knowledge. There are also words of challenge. There are also words of encouragement. There are also words of instruction. There are also beginning words, as we find in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we find many words in the Word of God. In fact, were it not for words, we would not have Holy Writ. Holy Writ is comprised of many words, from Genesis through Malachi and Matthew through Revelation. So God uses the vehicle of words to speak to us. He uses that means to challenge us. He uses that means even to grant us faith to believe in Him. As we read in the book of Romans, we are told that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, we need words in order to hear what God has for us. So this is why I thought it would be interesting for us to just detail a moment on this first Hebrew word of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Devarim, words. Words are made up by the Almighty God through the Word of God in order to reveal Himself to us through words. At least we do not have the privilege today to see the mighty works of God, for example, in the wilderness experience, as we will be looking into in a few moments, that took 40 years within the life of the nation of Israel. There God manifested Himself through the giving of manna to Israel, through the wonderful issue of their shoes, that is, the shoes of the children of Israel not wearing out, we see blessing after blessing after blessing that God brought upon the children of Israel. Now, since we were not there personally and physically, then God uses words within the confines of the Word of God to declare to us what He has done. So I wanted to emphasize and overemphasize the powerfulness of words. The powerfulness of words. Now, words from God's perspective are positive. They allow us to know Him. They allow us to grow in Him and so on. But even within Holy Writ, we find words that are negative words. That is, words that come from the adversary, from Satan. And yet God records these words for us so that we will be aware that not all words that we hear are from God. There are godly words, and then there are ungodly words. For example, you remember in Genesis 3, when God had placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He had simply given him, that is Adam, a word. And He had said to him, "Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now this is God's word. These are true words given to Adam and Eve. But we find that Satan, in the form of a nahash, a serpent, appears to Eve, and he begins to speak to her. Now, what did he use? He used words. And through these words, he began to take her heart away from that which God had given her, that is, a perfect heart and a perfect situation and a perfect surrounding. And Satan, in the form of the serpent, began to speak words unto her that were not true. He said, "You know that in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will be as a god. You will know all things." Then later on, he began to speak more words to Eve, and he said unto her that, "You know that if you were to eat of this fruit, you're not really going to die." And yet God's word had said unto Adam and Eve, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And we know the consequence and the penalty that was paid for Adam and Eve's sin. They died spiritually, and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They had from that point on then to work even with the very sweat of their face. Now don't make the mistake and say the sweat of the brow, because the Bible is very clear to say in Genesis 3 that it is by the sweat of the face that the man should earn the food and bread and so on and so forth. So we need to be correct as we read the words that are found within Holy Writ. And so I wanted to give a premise upon this word Devarim, which in English we find in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 1, these are the words. So the words that are found in the Word of God, every single word, is very important for us to go to the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom, for understanding, and for knowledge. Asking God, the Almighty, blessed be His name, to help us to understand the words that are found within the pages of Holy Writ. So now that our introduction has been set forth, these are the words, I'd like to bring these three verses of Deuteronomy 1 into four basic positions. Number one, the exact place that we find. Number two, the 11 days. Number three, the 11th month. And number four, the elect people. Four different positions that we want to look at the words that are given to us in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The first position that we find in this scripture is the exact place. Now, did you notice as Deuteronomy begins, we find Moses speaking unto all Israel, and the exact place of this speech, the exact place of this conversation that is given unto Israel, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, because 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all Scripture, and that includes Deuteronomy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when Moses spoke, he spoke under the inspiration of God. And because he spoke under the inspiration of God, we have the first position found in these three verses, the exact place. We find the exact place being on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, on this side of the Jordan. This, of course, in contrast to the other side of the Jordan that is found in other places in the Scriptures. After the children of Israel entered into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan, into the land that floweth with milk and honey, into the land given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the land of Israel. And let me just make a comment here in respect of the land of Israel. There is nowhere in the Old or the New Testament that the land of Israel has ever been called Palestine, not by the Lord God and not by any inspired prophet or apostle. We do not find that the land of Israel has ever been referred to by the Almighty God as Palestine. It has only been referred to as the land of Canaan, as the land of promise, as the land of Israel. And for anyone to refer to this land as the land of Palestine, of course, is contrary to biblical premises. Now, they may be correct in respect of a British mandate, that is, the nation of England. They may be correct in respect of the association that some Arabs have with the land, calling it Palestine. But they are totally incorrect in respect of biblical premises and biblical foundations that are found both in the Old and in the New Testament. Even in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find in the Gospels that the land is referred to oftentimes as the land of Israel, as the land of Israel. After all, that parcel of land from the little Wadi El Arish in the Sinai Peninsula or desert all the way to the Euphrates is referred to as the land of Israel because it was given to Abraham and it was reconfirmed unto Isaac and it was totally and completely promised to Jacob, whose name is indeed Israel and the father of the nation of Israel. So I wanted to mention this so that if ever you come across anyone that refers to the land of Israel as Palestine, even today, according to biblical standards and biblical premises, that is totally incorrect. Totally incorrect. In fact, it does injustice to the Word of God. It does injustice to the Word of God because the land is the land of Israel. So if you would turn in the back of your Bibles, you might notice some of the maps in the back of your Bible. Or in your Sunday school classes, you might find some of the maps hanging on the wall, and you'll be surprised, many of them will say Palestine instead of Israel. Now, isn't that something? The very name that God gave to the land, Israel, men have changed it. They now call it Palestine, and they have been calling it so for many years, but indeed it is the land of Israel. Even prior to May the 14th of 1948, when the state of Israel was born, even before that, the consideration of God upon the land is that it is the land of Israel and not Palestine. And therefore, there is no such thing as Palestinians, but Arabs that have been scattered just like the Jewish people have been scattered and still are scattered throughout the known world. We have Arabs that are scattered, and we have Jewish people that are scattered. The Jewish people's land is the land of Israel, and the Arabs have their land within the confines of 13 Arab countries, and none of which will want to give these so-called Palestinians a homeland, but rather they want to kick out the Jewish people from Israel in order to allow these people to have their homeland. And of course, injustice is coupled with injustice, so we need to be careful. The land is the land of Israel, and I wanted to emphasize that as we look at the first position in Deuteronomy 1, the exact place of the very giving of the words of Moses unto the children of Israel, we are told in Deuteronomy 1, is found on this side of the Jordan. Before they crossed, you see, the other side of the Jordan, before the whole nation of Israel entered into their land that God gave them as a land grant through the Abrahamic covenant. And so the exact place, and just in case we have a problem locating this place, because it is a general term on this side of Jordan, because Jordan is a long, long river, as you probably already know, we have the exact place again reiterated to us in this verse. It is in the plain over against the Red Sea. Just in case we forget where that is, it is between Paran and Tophel. Just in case we can't locate that, then we need to locate Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. This is the exact place where Moses spoke to the children of Israel on this side of the Jordan River in the wilderness. And if you want to get a map, you might look it up and you'll find that it's on the very southern tip of what is now the nation of Israel, But on this side, you see, on this side of Jordan, not on the other side, not as they have entered the land. So the exact place. This is a reminder to you and me, my friends, that when the Word of God speaks, that is, these are the words, Devarim, when God speaks, He speaks to you in the first position. We want to remind you in the exact place. There is no mistakes with God as to where He will speak to you. You see, He will choose the place, and in that very place He will speak to you. As God used Moses to speak to the children of Israel in the exact place, so God will speak to you and has spoken to you. Just think back, if you are a Jewish or a Gentile believer in Jesus, this conversation that God had with you through the Word of God took place in the exact place. And even today, you probably could remember the very exact place that you were standing when God spoke to you and when Jesus came into your life and heart. You see, God is a God of order. And therefore, His entire Holy Bible is an orderly book because it gives us the exact place of every situation that we need to know in reference to God. Secondly, the second position is that we find the 11 days that are mentioned in Deuteronomy 1, verses 1 through 3. The 11 days. Let us read that in verse 2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea, the 11 days. Now it's interesting that when we look at the 11 days, we understand that this was the length of time that it would normally take an individual or group of individuals from the Red Sea, from the crossing of the Red Sea to the entering of what we know to be today the land of Israel. And this, of course, would be either on foot or camel or whatever the mode of transportation. Of course, it's much faster today with cars and trucks and planes and so on, but back then, with the mode of transportation that they had, the 11 days signifies the length of time that the children of Israel had in order to get from the Red Sea experience into the land of Israel. These were 11 precious days that God would have given to Israel had the Lord God felt and known that Israel was ready and prepared to enter the very promised land, the land of Israel, on the 12th day. But apparently God knew different, and he did not allow the children of Israel within 11 days to go from the border of Egypt to the very border of Israel as we know it today, but rather we go to the third position in this scripture, the 11th month. The 11th month. So we go from 11 days to 11 months. But what is interesting, as you read with me in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel. Once again, he is speaking to the children of Israel, but if you notice that the 11 days begins to be stretched out by the Almighty God to 40 years. To 40 years. In fact, on the 11th month of the first day, this is the very time that Moses once again speaks to the children of Israel. And you that have read through the book of Deuteronomy will remember that this book is a preparatory phase for the children of Israel to enter the land of Israel, the promised land. It is a preparatory book. It gives all of the preparation needed for the children of Israel to go in and to conquer and possess the land of Israel. So the 11 days that normally it would have taken a traveler from the Red Sea into the state of Israel as we know it today takes 40 years. Now, you might wonder, was there a mistake? Did they take the wrong route? Or did they take the wrong exit off of the freeway? Or what was the problem? There was no problem at all. God knew, according to his foreknowledge, God knew, according to all that he is the omniscient God. He knows all, from beginning to end, that the children of Israel were not ready to enter the promised land, the land of Israel, within 11 days, or rather on the 12th day. But rather, he wanted Israel to be prepared properly, to be prepared in a very strong way as a nation, militarily, psychologically, and so on. But there is a further blessing that we need to look at, and that is the fact that God wanted the children of Israel during these 40 years to experience the blessings of God that Israel would not have experienced otherwise had they not been 40 years in the wilderness. I had heard from several preachers years and years ago that one of the reasons, and the only reason, that the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness is because they had sinned, and because they had disobeyed, and because they were no good, and so on and so forth. And that is very far from the truth. They did disobey, just like you and I disobeyed God today. They were not perfect, just like you and I are not perfect today. But God allowed Israel the 40 years in the wilderness, the 40 years in the desert, in the Sinai, to allow them to experience the blessings of God that they would not have experienced otherwise. For example, the very food that God gave the children of Israel, manna, which in Hebrew is mana, which means what is it? In fact, that's what the children of Israel said when they saw manna that was upon the dew that had fell that night. In the morning when they woke up and they saw, they said, manna, what is it? They had never seen this before. The psalmist in the book of Psalms refers to the manna as being angels' food. And we have description of this angels' food. It was like coriander seed and so on. They had never seen this before. And it was sufficient to satisfy them and to fill them throughout the day. And they all they had to do was pick it and eat it, and they were filled. That was the food. In the area of clothing, God did not allow their clothing to grow old and to wear out, and their shoes were in perfect shape, as it were. God also allowed the children of Israel during these 40 years to experience other blessings. For example, God spoke to them directly through Moses, as no other nation had been spoken to before. God associated himself with the children of Israel through a covenant relationship like no other people have ever been or ever shall be associated with. It was a very special physical covenant, earthly covenant relationship that God had with the children and still has with the children of Israel. And so, blessing on top of blessing, God speaking from Mount Horeb, God speaking from Mount Sinai. The law is given to the children of Israel, and you remember the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments that are found in Exodus 20. Well, in reality, there's 613 commandments, not just 10, but in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we find 603 additional commandments other than the Ten Commandments, a total of 613 commandments. On top of that, God says, I want to fellowship with you. I want to rest with you. I want to communicate with you. And he instructed Moses through the great man Bezalel, that was full of the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge, to build the tabernacle. To build a tabernacle, a very simple structure of worship that only contained 7 articles of furniture. And it was there that God met with his people, the children of Israel. And for 40 years we find blessing after blessing after blessing. So you see, those 40 years were used by the Almighty God not only to speak to Israel, but to bless Israel abundantly, so that when she would be ready to enter the land of Canaan, which is the land of Israel, God would have them prepared and strengthened and ready. The fourth position tonight in the scripture, Deuteronomy 1, verses 1 through 3, I've entitled the elect people. Now let's review quickly what we have said. These are the words, Devarim, that was our introduction. These are the words. And this is how the book of Deuteronomy begins, with one Hebrew word, Devarim. Our first position was the exact place on this side of the Jordan. The second position was the 11 days. The 11 days that it should have taken a traveler from the Red Sea near to what we know today as being the state of Israel. The third position was the 11th month. The 11th month and the first day of the 40th year. This was the time that Moses was getting ready to be taken, as it were, by the Almighty God, to be buried by God, and the children of Israel under new leadership, Joshua, entering the promised land. The fourth position, the elect people. The elect people, as we read in the scriptures that we have given you, we keep reading, and it came to pass in the 40th year, the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him. Moses spoke to whom? To the elect people. Now, what is the name of this elect people? The children of Israel. The children of Israel. Now, in respect of Israel being the elect people, I would like to call your attention to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. Because from time to time, someone will ask me, now, why did God choose or elect the Jewish people of Israel, the children of Israel? So we need to go to the scriptures to find our answer. And in Deuteronomy, chapter 7, and verse 6 we read, speaking of the elect people, that is, the children of Israel, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Let us stop there a moment and look at this scripture that we have just read. From time to time you will hear someone say that the Jews are the chosen of God, that the Jewish people are the chosen of God. That is but a third correct. There is two-thirds missing. The Jewish people are not simply the chosen of God, but they are rather the holy people of God, the chosen people of God, and the special people of God. And this we find in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Thou art, number one, a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has, number two, chosen thee to be a, number three, special people unto himself. So Israel, the Jewish people, are not simply a chosen people. That's but a third correct. We need to look at the whole of truth in the Word of God. Remember we mentioned a moment ago about Devarim? These are the words. We need to look at the complete truth of the Word of God. God said in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6 that the children of Israel were, number one, a holy people, and number two, a chosen people, and number three, a special people. You might ask, what do these name terms mean? First of all, the term holy means separated. So God chose Israel to be a separated people unto himself, just like he's called you and me through Jesus Christ to be a holy, separated people. Now God, we're told, chose Israel. He hath chosen thee. They are the chosen of God. And this, of course, is a reminder to the entire world that God indeed has chosen a people, and a people chosen represent God. So wherever the Jewish people, quote, the chosen, but now you know, not only chosen, but holy, chosen, and special, when the chosen people of Israel are found throughout the known world, they are always a reminder of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And thirdly, they are a special people. God says that he keeps Israel as the apple of his eye. Now, I have been given this evening a Twin Cities Christian Business Directory, which is the Christian Yellow Pages, and as usual, you know, Christian people a lot of times try to, they try to usurp the nation of Israel, and they try to replace the Jewish people in God's economy. And I'm not just picking on the Christian Business Directory. We could find this in many, many types of Christian literature. They quote Deuteronomy 31, they quote other portions of scriptures, and they speak of God keeping the Christians as the apple of his eye. But they don't tell you, at least in the Christian Yellow Pages or in messages sometimes or in lessons, that who God keeps as the apple of his eye is the nation and people of Israel, not Christians, but the children and people of Israel. This is God's people, and he keeps them as the apple of his eye. And he mentions to us in that very scripture in Zechariah that if you touch the apple of his eye, who is indeed a holy people, a chosen people, and a special people, you will have to respond to the God of Israel. If not in this life, and I believe you will in this life, at least you will in eternity. You will have to stand before the God of this holy, chosen, and special people. Although we know that as Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus Christ, we are chosen in Christ. We are holy in Christ. We are special in Christ. There's your key phrase, in Christ. But the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye even outside of Christ. They are God's earthly people. And we are God's heavenly people, and there's a vast difference. So when we are quoting scriptures, whether it be the Christian Yellow Pages or you yourself, we need to be correct. And we need to be careful not to take scriptures out of context in order to offend God himself and his holy, chosen, and special people, which we have entitled in position four of Deuteronomy 1, 1 through 3, the elect people. But let's go on in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, holy people, chosen people, special people, namely the children of Israel, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. In fact, we can even say, with correctness of the scriptures, that there was a time when there was not a child of Israel. There were no such thing as children of Israel amongst the people, the Goyim, the Gentiles. But God chose one man, a Gentile by the name of Abram, to be the progenitor, to be the one through whom would come the people and the children of Israel. And at age 99, this old man Abram was circumcised. And he was the first made Jew and the only ever made Jew by God himself. And his son Isaac was the first born Jew. And Isaac, of course, gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, and so on. So God did not love or set his love upon Israel, nor choose Israel because they were more in number. In fact, the Bible tells us that they were the fewest of all people, and we've just mentioned there was just one, and eventually two, and eventually three, and when they ended up in the land of Egypt, there was but 70. When they left Egypt, there was 2.5 million, and were it left up to the Hitlers and the Tsars and the Queen Isabellas and the haters of Israel today, even in our country, there would be no Jews throughout the whole world. But God keeps Israel as the apple of his eye. And as we had a scripture earlier from the book of Jeremiah, as long as the sun and the moon and the stars are in the firmament, God says, there will always be my people Israel, his earthly people Israel. And we need to deal with that and recognize that. And we need to remember that as we bless these people, Genesis 12:3, God is bound to bless us. No matter whether we are a Jewish believer or a Gentile believer, I will bless them that bless thee, is a promise of God. And God is not a debtor to any individual. Let's go on in Deuteronomy 7. God tells us, but because the Lord loved you, but because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. He keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. To 1,000 generations. The reason God tells us that he has made Israel a holy, chosen, and special people is because he himself has loved Israel, and because he made an oath, a covenant, a pact, a treaty, an agreement with their fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he will keep it in spite of whatever and whoever and wherever people say to the contrary. Now, the elect people that are mentioned in the scripture that we're reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that Moses is speaking to a specific people, the elect people. It is God that elected them. It is God that named them the children of Israel. And have you ever wondered why he would name them the children of Israel and not the men of Israel or the women of Israel, but always the children of Israel? Because there was a father-child relationship, and there always has been, between God the Almighty and Israel. And secondly, to remind Israel that they were totally and still are totally dependent upon God. And were it not for God the Almighty, blessed be His name today, there would be no such thing as the state of Israel today. But God is keeping that little state, and will keep that little state, and will beautify that little state until Messiah comes. And He, Messiah Jesus, will sit upon His throne, the throne of David, in Jerusalem, and from there, with the nation of Israel, they will rule the world for 1,000 years. This is something you and I, as a child of God, are anticipating, the coming of Yeshua Jesus. In conclusion, notice what God gives to Moses to give to the children of Israel. The commandment, as we read in the last verse, the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him, in commandment unto them. No one else, nor the nation, nor the people, but the elect people, the children of Israel, God spoke to in the commandment. And the commandment of the Lord is simply this: Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echod. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And of course, in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, we find that Yeshua Jesus quotes this very verse in Mark 12, 28 and 29, and he concludes it by saying, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Let us pray. God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, thank you for these are the words, Devarim. Thank you for the preciousness of your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the pardon of your word. Thank you for the peace that is ours through Yeshua Jesus, thy beloved Son, our Savior, and our Messiah. As we pray for the peace of Jerusalem tonight, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.